Luke chapter 10. A brother in the Lord has looking at Luke chapter 10, has asked the question, what do Christians do? What do these strange creatures called Christians do? Well, Luke chapter 10 gives kind of an overview. In the beginning of Luke 10, the Lord sends the 70 ahead of him to go and preach the kingdom. And then we see the parable of the Good Samaritan. And then we see Mary at the Lord's feet. So what do Christians do? Well, we spread the gospel. We're ambassadors for Christ. We are the people the Lord uses to bless and help others in need. We're neighbors. And we are worshipers and learners. We sit at the Lord's feet. So just a little summary of Luke chapter 10. Today we will focus a bit on the ambassador part. Not just being an ambassador, but being a good servant to Christ. That would be Luke 10, verses 1 through 24. An ambassador is someone sent to a foreign land to represent their government. It's a privilege, and this person's an official. I mean, it's really an important job. So we can keep that in mind. This message, if you're still trying to figure out what the Lord's plan is for you, what your calling is, what's your niche in life as being a servant to the Lord, if you're still trying to figure that out, I really pray this message will be encouraging to you. If you know God's plan for you, and you're serving Him and using what you believe is the gifts He's given you, I think there'll still be something in here for you too. So, why don't we read Luke chapter 10. Now after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them two and two ahead of Him to every city and place where He Himself was going to come. Okay, this would be, the approximate time frame would be the last summer, the last fall of the Lord's 3-year ministry. And He is up in the area of Galilee, and the Lord's going to head down towards Judea, Jerusalem, and He's sending the 70 ahead of Him. And He was saying to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no shoes, and greet no one on the way. And whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And stay in that house eating and drinking what they give you, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not keep moving from house to house. In whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat what is set before you, and heal those in it who are sick, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whatever city you enter, and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your city, which clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I say to you, it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You will be brought down to Hades. The one who listens to you listens to me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects the one who sent me." And the 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And He said to them, "I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. At that very time he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and intelligent, and didst reveal them to babes. Yes, Father, for thus it was well pleasing in thy sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. And turning to the disciples, he said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I say to you that many prophets and kings wished to see the things you see, and did not see them, and to hear the things you hear, and did not hear them. Okay. We ask that the Lord blesses the reading of his word. 24 verses, we're not going to go through each one, but I thought we should read it all for context. In verse 21, we see that the Lord praised his Father, that the Father had revealed these things to babes, and the Father had chosen to use babes. Well, we're going to talk some about that, and keep your place here. Let's turn to Matthew 18, and we're going to maybe get an idea of what are the characteristics of a babe. What might the Lord be talking about here? Characteristics of a babe. Your translation may say infant. Matthew 18, verse 1. At that time the disciples came to Jesus, saying, Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he called the child to himself and set him before them and said, Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So to be considered great in the kingdom of heaven, we need to humble ourselves as a child. The Lord gave me a picture of, in the morning, a little daughter wakes up. She's young. She really doesn't know what's going to go on that day. That's okay. She doesn't need to know. She just knows, well, we're going to go to Grandma's, and that's about it. That's all she knows. She walks through the house, and, oh, there's my daddy. It's my daddy, and she walks quicker and gets over and climbs up on his lap. She gets a big hug, and she's assured that, yep, my daddy loves me. Everything's okay. Here's my security, here with my daddy. My strength, my wisdom. Children don't think too much of that, but it comes from daddy. There's a real openness, a delight, a joy in this little girl's heart sitting on her daddy's lap. There's a dependence. There's a trust. She doesn't know what's going to go on that day. Daddy says, well, we're going to Grandma's today. And our cousins are going to be there. And our cousins don't know Jesus. So it's important that we be on our best behavior so we can show Jesus to our cousins. Do you understand that? Mm-hmm. Can you do that for Daddy? Mm-hmm. And if you have a problem, if something starts going bad, who are you going to go see? And she kind of just touches him on the chest. Pleases the daddy. But, okay, dad's in control. This is what dad's asked me to do, and I'll try to do my best. So, I consider, I used a little girl for my example. I picture them as being more submissive than boys. I don't know, some of you with daughters will probably tell me, Lee, don't let them fool you. So, You know, the characteristics of that little girl, just, okay, whatever Daddy says, Daddy's my strength. I find much peace and comfort in Daddy's lap. I went to him early in the morning. Much safety, much security, dependence and trust on my Daddy. Okay, so just some thoughts of, you know, what is the Lord meaning by babes here? Let's go back to Luke 10. We'll try to fill in the picture more of what the Lord means by babes and what the Lord's doing here with these 70. What else do we learn about those that the Lord would use? Well, verse 2, he had them praying. And what are they praying for? Do you ever read this and say to yourself, oh no, it's the labors for the harvest prayer. Every preacher says if you pray this, you will end up in Africa eating bugs and dodging poison darts. I cannot pray this prayer. Do you ever have that kind of impression, you know, when you read this? Well, this appears in three of the Gospels, Matthew, Luke, and John. And I think it's pretty important. The Lord he's asked his people to pray. And he's asked them to pray for laborers for the harvest. And the fear that everybody has is, well, when you pray to be a laborer for the harvest, the Lord's going to make you a laborer, and I am scared to death of preaching the gospel. Do you think that? Many, many of us do. So, I don't mean to be negative in any way by this, but there are many in this room who are trying to determine the Lord's will. The Lord's will for you is to be holy. The Lord's plan for you, His individual plan or calling for you, if you don't know it yet, that's not a bad thing. But I think in order to learn it, I think the Lord would have you pray in some form of this prayer. Prayer molds us. It changes us. And we may be scared to death but of the harvest of that type of labor, but God can use you. You know, not everybody who prays this prayer is going to end up in Africa. And I'll be honest with you, for some reason the scary thought that pops in my mind is the Lord's going to put me on a street corner with a megaphone, repent. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Why do the silly thoughts go through our minds? You know, there are many, many ways the creative, almighty God of the universe can choose to use you to be ambassadors for His kingdom. Pray some form of this prayer. At camp, John Heller, he did a week of messages on discipleship, and some of you may recall he talked about the parking prayer. Lord, discipleship is important to you. Please park somebody in my life that I can disciple. That's for growing a young believer. Well, how many of you would not accept the opportunity if the Lord brought somebody into your life who actually is seeking the Savior? Somebody that you get to know them, and in a year's time, you get to share the gospel and bring them to the Savior. I mean, when you think about it that way, I mean, that can't be too hard. You know, God will just work it pray the parking prayer for the Lord to put somebody in your life. And we can try to get rid of the silly thoughts that pop in our minds about Africa or something. Okay, going on, verses 3 and 4. All right, so pray for the Lord to send laborers to His harvest. And oh God, I'm a chicken. I can't do that. I can't be used by you in that way. God, I'm just too much of a chicken. Well, since we just covered 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it's probably fresh in your mind that the Lord would say, well, that's okay. You know, I use the foolish, the weak, the simple, the base people of the world to do my work. Now, if the 70 said, Lord, we can't go forth. We're just too afraid of this. We're too weak. We're not prepared. We don't know enough, Lord. What do you think the Lord might have said? I think, looking at this, the Lord might have said, you know what? In a way, you're right. You are pretty weak. But actually, you're not quite weak enough. I want you to carry no purse, no bag, no shoes, and greet no one on the way. Lord, what little we could do to help ourselves, you're asking us not to do? No purse, no financial reserves, no bag, perhaps no food or other reserves. Carry no shoes, no second pair of shoes. Well, maybe we can't cling to our comforts, our luxuries. Now, I'm not trying to paint the picture that God first wants to make you live a life of poverty before he loses you, but I think the point here is the Lord wants us weak, and the things we cling to, when he goes to use you and send you out, he may actually take some things away so that you're dependent on him. And not on the things you've been clinging to. Okay? Total dependence on God in this. Alright? Well, you still might say, well, Lord, the 70 might say, well, Lord, we can't go. Well, let's talk about us now. You feel the Lord prompting you. And, well, Lord, I just can't go do this. You're asking me to go, but you're asking me to go into Canaan and conquer the land. Well, Lord, we heard there's giants in there. In verse 3 of Luke 10, the Lord says, go your ways. Behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. And says, I know they're giants, but I'm still asking you to go. Lord, you're still asking me to go. I can't go. Well, what are you focusing on? In verse 3, there's three nouns. There's wolves, there's lambs, and there's I. There's the Lord. If you're focusing on the wolves, you'll never go. The Israelites in numbers did not go conquer the land. There were giants there. They were focusing on the wolves. If you focus on the lamb, well, that's you. If you're focusing on you, well, I'm weak, I'm a chicken. Oh, Lord, me, I might have to go witness to somebody. Lord, you know me. Here's my list of excuses. Lord, it's in color. There's charts. It's double-sided. What does the Lord say? He says, I send you out. Yes, I know your lambs. And yes, I know there may be wolves out there. Actually, to be honest with you, there's not too many wolves in this country. We have it pretty easy when it comes to sharing the gospel. The Lord says, I send you out. I think that's where our focus needs to be. Not on the wolves, not on the us. Boy, we can come up with that list of excuses. The focus needs to be on the Lord. We read in verse 2, it was His harvest. His harvest. He's sending us out. We read in verse 19, He gave them authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall injure you. The Lord is able to give you the strength to do His work. Okay, so those, just some thoughts on what a babe might be, dependence and trust on the Lord, and yes, we're all chickens, but it's the Lord sending us out. We're going to talk about some of the rest of the chapter. We'll be kind of changing topics a bit, changing gears here. We're going to go on. Verse 8. When I read verse 8, in whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat what is set before you. I think of my brother Warren, who perhaps he disobeyed the law, the Lord, sorry, when he wouldn't eat the chicken head in China. I don't do chicken heads, he said. I wish your brother was here. Okay, just some thoughts of application as we go through this. Okay, so the Lord's using you to witness, to give out a track. We see in verse 9, those who received the 70, they were to heal those, and they were to say, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Okay, that's the message. They were going to, in a way, prepare the way for the Lord. So, the kingdom of God has come near to you. That was the message. What we see in verse 11, for those who didn't receive the 70, even the dust of your city which clings to our feet, we wipe off and protest against you. Yet be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come near. Even for those who didn't receive the 70, they were still to give the message, the kingdom of God has come near. And I think an application we can have for this is, you may talk with somebody and they may, it really may seem like they're rejecting, they're cold, they want nothing to do with it, but leave them with a thought. And pray about this ahead of time. Have a thought, one or two, and that, you know, whichever one the Lord brings to mind, you can use. You know, you're given out a track. There's absolutely no interest. Sometimes just giving out a track is the most wonderful way to start a conversation. It's, you give out a track, and then it's up to the Lord. It's up to that person. Somebody interested may start talking, and it's like a open door with the gospel. But let's say they don't. They're closed. Leave them with a thought. I pray you will realize your need for God's forgiveness in your life. Just a thought. Make them think. Isaiah 59 says, your sin has separated you from God. If you die in this state, it's forever in hell. Just a short one or two sentence. Can you do that? You'll never see that person again. You can say that. Family's a tough one. You gotta come back at Thanksgiving and see them again. Okay. Verses 13 through 16. This may be a bit of encouragement for some of you. You recall, we get the impression that Capernaum was kind of a home base for the Lord. He spent a lot of time there. Okay, the Lord of glory spent much time in Capernaum. Almighty God came in the flesh and performed many miracles in Capernaum. The tender, compassionate Savior comforted and healed many in Capernaum. But the village as a whole rejected Him. Christian, there may be certain people in your life that you've been trying for quite a while, witnessing every way you can. Every approach from being stern about sin and God's holiness to tears and telling them about the love of the Savior to the most extreme kindness you can show them, and you're getting nowhere. Don't be discouraged. They rejected the Lord of Glory Himself. Just keep trying. The Lord will keep working. He knows your grief. He knows your burden for Him. The Lord will keep working. Keep praying. Verse 17, and the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. They returned with joy, and they realized it was strength, it was power from Christ, from God. What type of joy would this be? This would be lasting joy, abiding joy. It would be joy that encourages and causes growth and the desire to be used more. This verse often reminds me of when we're done with door-to-door work. It was scary. It was hard to go out, but there's a joy. There's a joy being used in that way for the Lord, being stretched. For some of us, many more, much more. But it's a stretching for all of us. And God wants to fill us with this joy, His joy. This joy from being submissive and obedient, being used by God. Remember when Charlie Fizer was here, he told that story about, Lord, help us to live beyond the comma. Remember the verse he was talking about? You don't have to turn there, but in John 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life, comma, and might have it abundantly. Okay? The Lord wants to give us abundant life. He wants us filled with joy every moment of our lives. Well, how are we filled with that joy? John 15, the Lord tells about the vine and the branch. I am the vine, you are the branches. Okay, we don't have time to go into that too much, but basically, if you abide in Him, if you line your ways, your thoughts, your concerns up with the Lord's, His strength will flow through you. You'll be abiding in Him. Okay, His strength will flow through you and you will bear much fruit. Okay, well, there's another verse, John 15:11, after the vine and the branches. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you, comma, let's live beyond the comma, that my joy may be in you, comma, and that your joy may be made full. Again, God wants us to be joy-filled serving Him. And we see from that wonderful analogy, the way to be joy-filled is to line our concerns up with the Lord's. So often the flesh will just drag us the other way, convince us that, well, my plans, the things I want to do will give me more fun than what God wants me to do. Oh, Christian, God wants us to be joy-filled. And it comes from being babes and sitting on the Father's lap each morning, sitting at the Lord's feet and getting your instruction for the day, starting out with a song of the Lord in your heart and going forth in dependent obedience each day, being concerned about the things the Lord's concerned about. No matter where God wants to send you, no matter what He wants you to do, even if it is Africa eating bugs and dodging blow darts, if that's where He wants you, you will have the most joy being there. In the center of His will, you will have the most joy being there. There's three joys mentioned here. That one was joy in service. Okay? That was verse 17. Verse 21. Let's jump to verse 21. At that very time, he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and intelligent and didst reveal them to babes. Yes, Father, for thus it was well-pleasing in thy sight. Isn't that an interesting verse? The Lord rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit. Kind of a side thought, we know that the Gospel of Luke speaks of the humanity of Christ. It's interesting, you find more verses like this about the Lord's relationship to the Holy Spirit in Luke than you do in the other Gospels. It's kind of an example to us, you know, we're human, and for us to do the Father's will, we need that close relationship with the Holy Spirit. And we read verses like, and he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Things like that occurs more often in Luke. The humanity of Christ, led by the Spirit of God every moment. So what brought joy to the Lord Jesus? That babes, God would use babes, and that God would be glorified. These babes, these 70, they were submissive. They were obedient. They were dependent, and they gave the credit to God. The Lord is so pleased that the Father's work was being done and being accomplished in His way, in His strength. You know, we in the breaking of bread this morning talked about God's work being finished, or God's mighty works, and then the ultimate of Christ dying on the cross for us, that part is finished. But God's work continues, and it continues through you, each one of you. So, our service, sometimes we think it's just so small or is not amounting to much. If it's done as babes with the right motives, it's so pleasing to the Lord. So pleasing to the Lord. Imagine that my Savior who died for me, the one who purchased me, I can bring him much joy just by trusting him and being dependent on him, being obedient to him. Most of you know I hunt sometimes, and my dog's about to expire. She's getting old. I don't think I'll get another dog, at least not now. But I've learned a few things in hunting and hunting dogs. If I was to go get another dog, let's say I had pick of the litter, and there's the mother and six dogs, and they're all, these little pups are all jumping around, playing, and there's the biggest, there's the second biggest. The biggest and the second biggest are the dominant dogs. I got pick of the litter. What about that little one? Is that a male or a female? That's a female. I'll take that one. Why would I do that? Most people, they want the biggest dog, and they want the most aggressive dog. They want the leader. Well, that runt, so to speak, maybe I wouldn't take the run. How about the second from the bottom? I don't want one too small, but that dog, second from the bottom, has already learned it is not in charge. It has already learned to be submissive to the bigger dogs. It will be much easier to train that dog to hunt for me. Every one of those dogs probably has an excellent nose and will have instinct and will hunt good. But who is that dog going to hunt for? Is it going to hunt for me or for itself? I have seen lots of dogs click, the leash goes, the the dog's gone. And the rest of the day is spent yelling at your dog. It is not a good hunting experience. And the hunter knows if his dog performs well, it doesn't matter if he got any birds. The dog performing well is equal or greater in joy to the hunter than it is getting birds. Okay, that dog's performance is what brings joy to the hunter when the day's done. Yeah, he might have got a bird, but he is satisfied. He is happy. He's joy-filled. My dog did good for me today. Can we be that way for our Savior? Who's he going to pick to do his work? And can we bring that joy to him? That, yeah, the Lord could pick anybody in this room to go do something in particular. But often he just picks those that'll do it submissively and bring them the most joy. Let's just leave it at, it just brings much joy when we can just be submissive and do the Lord's will. All right, so that was joy. We had joy in service. We had joy brought to the Lord. How about joy to us in pleasing our Savior? What a tremendous joy just knowing we're pleasing our Savior. Verse 20. One more joy. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. Okay, so did the Lord tell them to have joy in their gifts, in their abilities, in what they were able to accomplish? No, the Lord said, don't rejoice in the fact that the spirits were subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. We're to have joy in our salvation. Okay, those of you that have figured out your calling, you know your gifts, you know how the Lord is using you, there's a certain caution, a warning here. We have to keep the proper perspective. Too much joy or attention on our gifts will lead to pride. It will lead to pride. It's best if our joy is just focused on the grace of God. Yes, we do have joy in serving the Lord. He gives us that joy, but let's keep the joy focused on the Savior and just be careful not to get too caught up in what the Lord has enabled me to do. Our joy is best focused on the grace of God, that my God loved me so much. He came and died on a cross to redeem me, to save me from the pit of hell, and to have a personal relationship with me. God's greatest work, talking about God's work again, is not how he enables you to serve him. That is a great work, that he can make us useful. That is a great work. But God's greatest work was dying on the cross for you and then bringing you to repentance. That's for those that do know their gift, are being used mightily by the Lord. Let's keep our joy focused on the Lord himself and not on our gifts, our service. Verse 22 through 24, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Lord wills to reveal him. And turning to the disciples, he said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things you see, for I say to you that many prophets and kings wished to see the things which you see and did not see them, and to hear the things which you hear and did not hear them. we are living in a real privileged age. We are privileged people to see, at least to a great degree, God's big picture. He exists in three persons, and God the Son became flesh and died for us. How does God become flesh? There's mysteries here. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son. There's mysteries here that we don't know. But the Lord has revealed the Father to us. We can know Him and have a personal relationship with Him. He has purchased us. No other love compares. Nothing comes close. And now with the motive of love, I can serve Him because He first loved me. What a privilege we have this side of the cross. Let's pray. Father, in the Gospel of John, the Lord Jesus says, He said, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. Lord, what a privilege. What an honor to be redeemed people. Father, and what a privilege to serve the Almighty God of the universe. And Father, it is your pleasure to choose babes, to save babes, and then to send them out to serve you, to share the good news. And Father, yes, there may be wolves out there, and yes, we are chickens, we're but lambs, but Father, may we remember that it is your harvest, it is your work. You will enable, you will work the situations, you will protect, and you will give much joy. Father, all this, it's help us to focus on you, the Lord Jesus, that sends us out. Father, may we be babes, may we be dependent on and trust the Savior who sends us. And Father, may we bring you much joy. May the Lord rejoice greatly in our service to Him. Father, we pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.